This is the home of Jerry's Percentages.
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2, Positive Tuesday continues here on Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. The city is on fire right now. The Leafs are up 2-1. Back in action tomorrow night. You can hear that game right here on TSN 1050. We're giving away a pair of tickets at some point this afternoon to that game, so tune in to find out how and when you can win those. Game 2 of the Raptors-Bucks series tonight at the ACC, and you can hear that game right here on TSN 1050, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the hour. The pressure that is back on Kyle Lowry. Whenever they play a playoff game, he's the guy that gets circled. He didn't play well enough in the first game. Because he's Lowry, he wasn't going to take it on the chin. He was kind of spreading the blame around to an extent, and there was a quote he had earlier in the week or a couple of days ago that had a lot of people buzzing. We'll play that.
Right.
We'll dissect it. We'll tee up the game later in the hour. Mike Modano jumped the gun on Twitter last night.
Yep.
After the Ovechkin goal that made it 2-0, Modano jumps on Twitter and says, enjoy these two games because the Capitals are going to steamroll them. Caps in five.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, the Leafs end up winning in overtime, and Modano tweets out, damn spell check, I meant Maple Leafs in five.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's, you know, we're so bringing funny up that stretcher again with him.
Oh, for sure. You have to. That's,
it's
but
a
he
must
loves
happen
it, though. I told you, he loves it.
Do you think he really does love it?
Like, no, not us talking about it, but
he doesn't remember it.
Yeah, he said he remember it. He's like, I don't remember. I remember Messier elbowing me in the yap, and that's the last thing I remember.
This is a guy who's won a cup. He's like an all-time great player.
One of the greatest American-born hockey players that ever played.
And whenever we bring him up, it is exclusively revolving around him falling off a stretcher at MSG. That's the only thing we reference.
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, we will bring that up with him.
Yeah.
All right, here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Ray, you would have been playing at that time. I mean, we always talk about how the league gets buzzing. Like, after Matthews scored four goals, the next day everyone came in the room and said, did you see that? Was the room buzzing when Modano fell off the stretcher at MSG?
Well, everybody was talking about, man, there was like six of guys walking around the stretcher. Do you think anybody gave a damn? Like, he was strapped in there, right? And he just, like, bounced when the thing hit the ground. And you're like, we were all, everybody, because it's not like now when you could get the highlights easily. And everybody's like, do you see that? Do you see that? And then by 8:30 the next morning, everybody had seen it. And you're like, man, that had to suck. You're sitting in there strapped in and you're bouncing around like a basketball. I mean, that's brutal.
Yeah, that is the definition of adding insult to injury. Like, you got elbowed so hard and so viciously, and then you can't even get in the ambulance. The guy drops you on your side. It is so awkward. It's one of the great YouTube clips. And Sam Rosen with one of the all-time great calls as well. So we got Modano on later. We'll ask him about it. But
I'll ask him about his golf swing. He is. I was playing out at Whisper Rock this year in Arizona. That's his home course. And they've got this book right by the first tee that's got all their handicaps and indexes on it. And he's got some pretty tiny numbers next to his name.
Good player?
Very good.
Okay.
Very good.
Yeah, we can get on board with that. We'll throw that out. But the reason we initially thought of having him on was because he jumped the gun on Twitter when the Caps went up 2-0. He was trolling Maple Leaf fans. And I don't think he was alone in thinking that that game was going to be potentially out of reach for the Maple Leafs. I wasn't going to jump the gun and say, okay, it's over. The Caps are going to run away with the next three games and they'll win in five. But when Ovechkin scored that goal and the Caps were up 2-0 with less than 5 minutes played, I mean, what was running through your mind?
Oh, this is kind of more like it. That's kind of what I thought. You know, like, oh, this is, I guess they got the requisite wake-up call here. And, you know, and this is not that they were going to run away and win 6-1, but, oh, yeah, this is, you know, this is the response you expect. And then, you know, once, you know, we were watching the game in the press room in Nashville, once the game, you know, once Kadri had his shift and Matthews scored, and you're like, man, they're just, my instant sense was they're not going to go anywhere. They're just not. They're too fast. They're too, you know, too young, so they don't get flustered maybe, or they don't know enough to get flustered. They're too fast. They're too good. And so they're just not going to go away. So they get it to 2-1, and then, of course, the real turning point becomes that 5-on-3. I don't get it. I mean, I played on the power play a lot, and I don't know why 5-on-3s get so stationary, how they just stand there, and they don't, like, get the puck to the net. Make them move around. Make them try and defend you, because the three penalty killers didn't have to go anywhere. And they did an outstanding job, but I didn't think it was anywhere near as dangerous as it should have been.
No, that was a big turning point, yeah. And a lot of that was a self-inflicted wound by the Capitals, because if you're 5-on-3, you're in survival mode if you're trying to kill that penalty. You're
the worst 5-on-3 you could watch.
They're yelling at the bench, eh? They're yelling at the bench, you know, the guys that are never on the power play, of course, but they're yelling at the bench, you know, for you to shoot the puck. And what I know is if I watch a penalty killer and he's got to start scrambling around a bit, they get tired a lot quicker. It's easier to get them, you know, 5 feet out of position, and then you can make a pass. If you let them stand and get their breath, then they can attack, and then you stand again, then they catch their breath. They can stay out there for a long time. And they did the penalty killers did an outstanding job. I mean, you cannot take it away from them, but that game, from a Caps perspective, if you're a Cap player and or fan or coach, your thought is, this is over now. We're going to sink the dagger in. And again, the leash just wouldn't go away.
It was so impressive that they were down 2-0, 4.5 minutes into the game. They storm back, make it 2-1. Then they're down 3-1 with a 5-on-3, and like a minute and a half after they kill that, too many men on the ice, so another 2-minute power play. And they kill that, and then Anderson makes that stop on Kuznetsov coming across the crease, which was just such an impressive stop and in a big moment save, like the kind of saves Grant Fuhr used to make back in the day. You always reference him, Noodles, and just the right moment to make a big stop.
Save,
Jonathan Quick has done that a lot. And then before you know it, it's tied. Before you know it, they get a nice bounce that goes their way on the Kadri goal, and then Hyman just goes like a bat out of hell and sucks in two guys, and Matthews finds Nylander. It's 3-3. And the debate over momentum has been evergreen. I mean, everyone's got their take on it. Some people believe in it, some people don't. But I guess you just got to break down what we saw. And for me, that third period told me a lot. Like, the Leafs were dominant in the third. And the Caps, once they blew that 3-1 lead, they shut it down. They buckled in the third period.
Well, there's two things here, Brian, as you're talking about that. You know, because it's not – you can't touch it, and you can't make a stat about it, and you can't read about it. You just feel it, and you know it. So you're talking about momentum, and I'm going to add another one, and that's pressure. And so I'm in Nashville last night, and it's 2-0, and then it's 2-1. And just prior to the 2-1 goal, Rene had stopped Nick Schmaltz on a breakaway that could have made it 3-0, same timely save. And then it was like the Blackhawks felt the pressure. The momentum changed. The building got loud. They couldn't make a pass. They're panicking. They're icing the puck. They're shooting it out to center ice, kind of what the Caps are doing. They're just hanging on. Well, there's no stat for that, but you can feel it. Like, when you're sitting there watching, you're like, they're going to get another couple good chances. You just know they are. Whether it goes in or not, it's another thing. But we knew during that game that Nashville is going to get another couple of really good chances. You could just see it. You could feel it. And it looked like, we're sitting there watching in between whistles and stuff on the iPad, and I'm texting with you, and it's like there was no plays for the first, I don't know, what was it, 15 minutes of that period. The Caps didn't make any plays. They didn't pass the puck. They didn't advance the puck. So the Leafs never had to back up. And that, to me, is where momentum is and where pressure is. And the Caps felt it, and they buckled. Chicago felt it, and they buckled. And both of those are veteran teams. And sometimes being a veteran can only help you so much. Pressure's pressure. It gets to most everybody.
Well, and it appears as if the focus in D.C. is more on Barry Trotz than the players, because Ovechkin barely played.
You think he's under the gun?
Well, he barely played 15 minutes last night, and you know that owner, his boy is Ovechkin. Like his, he'll fly him to Russia next year to go play in the Olympics.
Leafs win the series. Yes guy, no guy. Trotz gets fired.
I wouldn't.
I think there's a chance they'd think about it.
I say no guy, but I think they take a cleaver to that roster.
Really?
Well, I mean, how many times are you going to give them a chance to win? The same team. They're already going to have some significant changes. Oshie and Alsner are unrestricted free agents.
Williams.
They're not going to be able to sign everybody. Williams, too, sorry. And, you know, they're not going to be able to bring everybody back. But if they lose again, and this time it's in the first round, how can you go to your season ticket holders and say, hey, we're going to get another 115 points next year and then come watch us in the playoffs? Like, you've got to change the tide a little bit. But you're right, Trot should feel some heat. And I'm a, you know, I know Barry a little bit, and I think he's a really good coach, but I think they've mismanaged this whole thing with the Leafs. They've given them too much respect. They've talked too kindly about them. They've given them no reason to fear. Like, why would you say, oh, these guys are great young players? Wouldn't you say, yeah, but we finished with 25 points in front of them. We're a good team too. Like, defend right. your guys. Get out there in front of it. Defend your guys. Last night, I read something today, too, about his ice time, about Ovi's ice time. One of the Caps beat writers went through the game, and they think, you know, I mean, I think we all know that the NHL official stats are, I mean, they
suspect.
Are what they are, but they are suspect.
I'll say the word for you, Ray. Sometimes they can be suspect. You see those guys in the rink, they work very hard. But there's human error involved. Let's just say that.
And so they're sitting there on an ice time, and they got to clock in a guy coming off the ice and off the ice. The beat writer, I just saw this thing on Twitter this afternoon that there was a shift that Ovechkin had was 5 seconds. She said it was at least 40 when she was watching the tape. But she went through his shifts to see, gee, did he only play 15 minutes? So whether it's 15 minutes, 16 minutes, it's not enough. He's supposed to be and is your impact player. He had scored in the game. I don't know. I think they've played too much the way the Leafs want to play and not enough the way that they have to play, and it's cost them.
Well, I would think, I mean, you guys can speak to this, and you and Ray, you guys would have played a lot of minutes. You maybe weren't necessarily the Ovechkin of your respective teams, but you guys were both top six guys that played a lot of minutes.
I still wouldn't have been shy to say, hey, like, I need to get out there more.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Like, is this on Ovechkin to turn around and say, because Trotz even tried to reference the power plays that the Leafs had. They didn't have a power play through the first two periods. Like, they had a couple in the third, but shouldn't Ovi be turning around saying, dude, did you just see me snipe first shift? Get me on the ice.
It's tough to do it immediately in the game, I think. But like I would have gone to a coach, like an assistant coach, and say, hey, is there a reason I'm sitting over here?
Yeah.
And just so you bring it to somebody's attention. Because sometimes I think whether you're one of the better players or not, you kind of get lost sometimes in the shuffle. He's trying to match lines, he's doing a lot of things, and sometimes they probably make a mistake too. And if you get a sense, I would say, like, oh, you would probably know your minutes probably within a minute when you left the ice at the end of a game, a minute or two. You'd go, yeah, I played 14 or 16 minutes. You kind of know.
Yeah, within a couple
would
minutes, yeah. Yeah, within a minute or so.
Yeah, and when you're sitting there, you're like, wait a minute. I don't even know when my last shift is. Okay, this is ridiculous. And I can make a difference. And that's where I think you go tell, you know, you mentioned the one of the assistant guys, but man, Ovi can say anything to anybody. I mean, would you not, after two periods, if you played 11 minutes, go in and say, hey, you know, I can make a difference here. Again, I think they're too worried about the Leafs and not worried about themselves. And maybe the Leafs have made them worry about them by the way they've played. Too much of this series is on the Leafs' terms and not enough of it on Washington's.
So, Ray, like, this is what worries me if you're a Washington Capital fan for that, is you're going to overcompensate now and you're going to play Ovi north of 20. And, like, there's been times where I've watched Ovi, especially in the first game and the second game. He scored early in the first game, correct?
Second game, yeah.
Yeah.
Second, yeah.
And then he was really pedestrian. There's a lot of shifts where he's pedestrian because Alan May was talking how we had him on earlier, how the battle has been down low, and Ovi's a guy in his own zone that's just watching the D. So he's just standing along. Like, to me, Ovi has to be a guy that winds up the engine and gets that speed going because he's such a powerful guy. But the Leafs have done a good job of kind of keeping the war away from him. What worries me, if, like, you, just exactly what you said, Barry Trotz tries to overcompensate and says, okay, Ovi, 24 minutes for you. And I think the Leafs can work against that and have their game plan about Ovi being out there because it's not like he's defensively perfect.
No, he's not.
Ray, can you think of a guy in your era?
Go ahead. Sorry, Jeff.
A guy in your era that was so talented and had all the stats but just didn't win? I mean, this guy...
No. Not like this. Hey, like not like the Brett Hull for a long time.
Yeah.
Until he got to Detroit at the end, right? And
Ray Bowers
throwing 75 boards on the 75 Ray, bones on the board.
Yeah, like Ray Bowers. Like it happens. Like Jerome Iginla. Guys has everything, but I mean, there's it's not Ovi's.
Here's the thing about Ovechkin noodles, though, that I would think about is okay. So say the shift is going. You know, the play is on, and Toronto gets their fourth line on the ice, and it's the fourth line for the Caps, which is a good line,
yes,
and it's done a good job for them. Well, you mean to tell me you can't substitute Ovi, like on a shift that's on the fly? Get Ovi out there instead of Tom Wilson.
Yeah.
So now he's playing against Martin. Like, you can get him an extra minute, a period, doing that. So then 15 minutes becomes 18 minutes. You can do that pretty easily.
Right.
Well,
you're paying him $10 million. He's got to be more of an impact of the game. I watched Chicago last night. Jonathan Toews was a $10.5 million checker. He didn't have one chance. And, like, if your big boys can't play and can't produce for you, you got big problems. And it's crappy to hang this on Ovechkin because that's not fair. I don't think that's the case. I think for three games, Toronto has played more of their game than Washington's played theirs. And unless Washington finds a way to control the puck and make Toronto play in their zone more, they're pretty clearly in a series that they didn't think they were going to be in.
Well, and that is applying across the board. I mean, you were in the building last night. Chicago's up 2-0. I'm thinking that's over. And then they lose in overtime, and now they're down 3-0. You've got Pittsburgh's up 3-0. Calgary was up 4-1. Now they're done.
And many.
And Minnesota, I mean, they're four... series like this has
and
been
some pretty good teams too.
Very good team. This has been an unbelievable first six nights of the playoffs. Like all these playoff games, all these close games, and yet at the same time, four series are on the verge of a sweep.
Some team's going to win the cup and say, "Thank God those guys were punted in the first round."
Oh, you betcha! The road got easier because
you
of this
know
team or that team. But what about this? So this is parity, right? Whether we, you know, and so now is this what people like? Because this is what we've got. There's no super teams. I like it that anybody can beat anybody. But I know there are some people that like to think that, oh, we miss the super teams, the Montreal that won five cups in a row, the Islanders that won four, the Oilers that won, what was it, 5 out of 6. You know, we miss those teams. I don't know if we do because this first six nights has been pretty amazing. And we made our guesses before the playoffs, and that's all they are because there's way too many times where one team can beat another and you never even blink an eye at it anymore.
It really has been incredible. And who's to say there won't be a miracle, right? Like this almost feels like the year. It's tough to pick one out now, but where you could see a team down 3-0 storm back.
Yeah.
Like if Chicago just wakes up and decides, you know what? We're going to make some history here.
Right, right.
You got to give full credit to Nashville.
Let's play pretend and Chicago wins tomorrow. And then they go back home, or Thursday. Then they go back home, and they win Game 5. Well, of course they can win Game 5. They're at home. Now they're back for Game 6, and all the pressure shifts over to Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it can happen, but it's only happened 3 or 4 times for a reason.
Right.
It's not easy. There's no denying that. You're back in New York, calling Game 4 tonight. Enjoy that, and we'll catch up tomorrow and break that down and tee up Game 4 here in Toronto.
Looking forward to it, boys. Have a great day.
All right, there's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Kevin tweeting in, @HaysTSN. How do you think Jerry is feeling about the idea of the Rangers, the Capitals, the Bruins, and the Blackhawks potentially all being out in the first round and potentially four Canadian teams advancing?
He's
Jerry
not happy.
Is going to be in a mood tomorrow.
Man,
it's a great point.
Those are some big U.S. markets who they need to get rocking.
Yeah.
Well, but quite honestly, those teams haven't played well enough in the playoffs, and that's why you start with a zero beside your name.
He will have a chirp for Rene Fasel, too.
Oh, yeah. Jerry's percentages? Maybe he will have some commentary for us.
He should, and his mustache.
I'll send him a note.
Rip his mustache off.
I'll send him a note tonight saying, can you just give us a quick take on how you feel about the way the first round is going?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Maybe he'll have a chime on by the end of the show.
I think maybe that
could
happen.
Just set up Jerry's for tomorrow.
All right, we'll send him an email. We'll see if he's got a few minutes. And maybe Jerry will join us at some point this afternoon.
Like a status update.
Well, you know what? There's a lot of people that are tweeting in and texting in saying they want to hear from Bill from Central Pennsylvania.
Oh,
because people are starting to put the cart before the horse here. And do you realize what could be happening in the next couple of weeks?
If the Leafs win this series and Pittsburgh wins, they would go head-to-head. So
they
would it would be Phil Kessel.
Philson himself.
Phil's had a hell of a playoff so far. He's been good.
Well, here's another thing that my buddy brought up today, and this is really putting the cart before the horse. Way ahead of the horse.
Well, that's what we do here.
But here is what could potentially be at stake for the city of Toronto.
Okay.
If the Leafs can close, they'll get Sidney Crosby and the Penguins in town. If the Raptors can beat Milwaukee, they'll have LeBron James and the Cavs in town. You could have a situation where the Leafs and the Raptors are both playing Sidney Crosby and LeBron James at the same time.
That's cool.
How cool would that be?
That's pretty jacked up for the city.
Like,
it would be.
Let's get hopping here. This city deserves it.
Well, let's get these Raptors going then, because they got to pull their heads out of their asses.
Big time. Like, that game one was it was an embarrassing effort in the second half. Dwayne Casey was losing.
But it's one game. That's
it's only
it.
One
let's
game.
Just leave that and have let's get some energy going for them tonight.
Well, and the focus is on Kyle Lowry, and we'll let you hear what he had to say a couple of days ago. Kyle can come off as petulant at times. Like, he's got a chip on his shoulder.
Right.
He's a guy. Him and Bautista have a lot in common in terms of them rarely taking it on the chin and saying, you know what, I got to be better. It's generally...
Does that make them unlikable?
I think at times. I don't think they have the greatest fan relations in terms of the way they interact,
right,
in terms
right.
of the, but on the court and on the field of play, although Bautista's been awful. Like, it's actually interesting how those two guys are being targeted going into their respective games tonight.
Right.
Because if you haven't been paying attention, we'll come back, we'll play Lowry's clip, we'll tee up the Raptor game, and I will read off Bautista's stats through 12 games.
Yeah.
It is something else what this cat is doing at the plate.
The Jays got to get going.
Big time. And the Red Sox are in town. Boston.
And I'm sure he has company, too.
He's not alone. Tulowitzki, Martin, Travis.
Right down the line.
None of them can hit. Morales has had a couple of big home runs other than that.
And Donaldson out for some
2 to 4
here.
Weeks, potentially.
That's a lot of games.
Haps on the DL. Sanchez had surgery, apparently, today on like a fingernail. Donaldson could miss upwards of 20-plus games.
It's not good.
Level of concern.
That's a keg.
Speaking of fingernail, do you think Jeff Finger would be welcome in the alum box?
I'd share a plate of pesto chicken with Jeff Finger.
What about
Finger?
Trees? Trees is a full alumni, is he not?
Oh,
Trees
yeah.
is the CEO of the alumni box.
Love Trees.
Jeff Finger could be the guy.
You think so?
You want to make Jeff Finger the player of the day?
Yeah. Freddie yes. got fingered.
All right, so Jeff Finger's your player of the day. Keep
fingered
that in mind.
The Leafs.
Listen, it wasn't him.
Not his. If somebody says, I'm going to give you a huge contract, would you go, no, I'm good? All right, nope, I'm not taking that.
I'd sign that in a heartbeat.
It's not Jeff Finger's
his
fault.
Agent did some fingering.
That had buyout written all over it the first second it was signed. I'll never
Shanny
forget.
Shanny and Lou would have made him disappear after an hour after he signed it. Actually, we made a big mistake. We need you to disappear.
They would have given him the tour of the room and then said, actually,
booted,
there's the
they
exit.
They would have kicked him in the ass as hard as they could.
Go say hi to Joffrey. And
they would have shown him the room, and then Stephon. They would have Lloyd Christmas behind the knee with a cane on the way into the ball.
See, at least Joffrey and those guys played, where it was like Rafi Torres, we just traded for you. Don't even get on the plane.
Alex Stalock, Jarrett Cowan.
You can go right to the minors, but we're going to send you home in the minors. Jarrett Cowan, you remember the first like press conference where Babs comes out? He's got some hip tightness.
Bit wonky in the hip.
Yeah, tightness. There's some tightness in there. They're trying to work on it and get it out.
Like that was, there's been some masterful things.
And guess what? Nobody cares because they're up 2-1 against the Caps.
Yeah, it just goes away. That's funny. Nobody cares.
Shanny and Lou should be the GM of like a Canadian Olympic team. They have guys that just the disappear. Get Nathan Horton out there wheeling around.
They've put in a lot of heavy lifting, and it's paid off. It's paid off.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
They've done a great job.
The Leafs are up 2-1. So Jeff Fingers, your player of the day. Remember that when we give you the cue to call at some point between now and 7 p.m., if you call in and you name the player of the day, you're going to see Leafs Caps Game 4 tomorrow night. You can hear that right here on TSN 1050. Game 2, Raptors Bucks can also be heard right here on TSN Radio. We'll tee that up. We'll get back into Kyle's comments. We'll break down Bautista's stats through 12 games, and we'll keep looking ahead to Game 4, Leafs Caps tomorrow night. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Well, you just heard the commercial. O-Dog Noodles and I are gearing up for the Scotiabank Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer Tournament, September 23rd at Woodbine Racetrack. Probably gamble on the ponies, I guess, too, if we're out there. Visit tsn1050.ca to make a donation on behalf of Team Overdrive. For every $20, you'll be entered to win roster spots on the team for you and a friend. All proceeds go to the Princess Margaret Cancer Center. If you want, we can team up on a trifecta.
Yeah. Let's do it.
I'm feeling pretty good about the track this summer.
Are you?
I like the ponies.
I like going to the ponies. Just betting, a little couple beers. Like it's a night. It's an atmosphere, right?
It's $2 a race.
Yeah.
And you're betting, like anyone knows. Like yeah. I love the guys around there. Like, oh, I got a read on the 9 horse and the 4 race.
The sports horn would have that.
He would have a
read. You know the horn would have like some sort of like angle. Like I know the jockey from a buddy of mine.
He owes me a favor.
He's going to take a dive in the fifth race.
Yeah, bet him to lose the race. Okay.
What about this tweet coming in? I think it's brilliant. My brother had tics for game 4. Can't go. Didn't tell me. He sold them to his neighbor. Is that a gutless move?
That's a good question. What do you do if you have tickets, but you can't go?
Well, I think you can make some cash.
But that's the question. Do you try to get the money back or make money, or do you go Good Samaritan and say, here, to my friend, brother, sister, parents?
Depends. Everyone's in a different position. You would sell.
Yeah.
I would think about selling.
I'd think about selling. I don't know. I would be weird. Like, those scalpers, they're like a... They're on another level down there.
They were so happy last night. Like, they were cordial. Like, you know how usually they're in your face? Who's buying? Who's selling? They're like, handshaking people. Like, how you doing? You want some tickets? I'll rinse you. Come over here.
For $1,000, we'll get you standing room up top.
Well, I saw two guys before I walked into the Sport Check studio who stopped me. We were talking about the show, and I asked them, do you have tickets for the game? And they said, no, but we're down here. We're going to scalp.
Ooh.
And I said, how much do you think you're going to spend? And they said... like minimum $400 a ticket last night.
And that's
those were
probably
for the worst ones.
Yeah, it's probably
top shelf.
Some real rough ones.
Be worth every penny though, looking back in the game.
You're
2 minutes in, you'd be thinking, I have to go rinse that guy. I got to go find the scalper and find a way to get my money
back. Sucker him.
When Ovechkin made it 2-0, imagine you dropped $400 cash.
But what if you left at that point and you were pissed off? There's no way you're leaving.
You can't leave. Once you've invested, you're in. Game 2 tonight, Raptors-Bucks. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. Kyle Lowry in the news. 4 points in Game 1. 4 points in Game 1. He was a minus 22 in point differential when he was on the court. He just didn't play well, and this is his reputation. It's not like it's developing.
Well,
his playoff reputation.
Took their turns last year.
Mm-hmm. They both have been questionable playoff performers.
Yeah.
They have not played up to their capabilities consistently in the playoffs. No. And Lowry, of course, was asked about it on Sunday. And Lowry's kind of prickly with the media. I used the Bautista comparison. Right, I think there's a lot of similarities. They don't want to talk to people. They don't want to feel like they have to explain themselves. At times, they just get rattled by the whole situation.
Right.
But this was a clip from a couple of days ago that people have been talking about. And I think it puts pressure on Kyle because I don't like the sound of it. I don't like the way it came off. This is what he had to say about people questioning the shots he was throwing up and the fact that he wasn't hitting any shots on Saturday during game one.
Put it this way. You want me to, I guess I'm going to have to force shots. You know, my teammates want me to be more aggressive, so I'm going to have to force some more shots. Simple as that. Because, I mean, I felt like I made the right passes last night. But, you know, my teammates, I guess I'll be forcing more shots, put it that way.
So I don't like the comment. What it's saying is I dished it up and everybody else choked.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I did my job. You didn't hit the shots, but I guess now I'll force shots.
And it's
you
first
want
the NBA
shots.
All-Star game and the hand garbage, and now this nonsense. He's starting to really get annoying.
He is not his public image based on what he's said and what he has done. He hasn't helped himself.
They'll still re-sign him. They'll still pay him, but it's just.
Yeah, but you have to take into account, at some point, are you going to take a step back and I don't think he's, per se, the problem. He's their superstar, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody's just expecting him to tell the, like, just, can you not say I got to play better?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like,
can
why
you not just say I need
have
to play better?
The confidence, like, in yourself to be
and
like,
I will play better.
I need to be better. I will be better. Game two. Like, there's nothing, he's probably driving in his car home afterwards saying, geez, I didn't have my best game. Pro athletes, for the most part, they're at their most honest with themselves when they're looking themselves in the mirror that night. Man, I didn't play that well. I didn't feel that good about my game. I always respect a guy more that comes out and said, I need to be better. You disarm people with the truth. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no denying
it. But you're dancing around. Somebody who lies about PEDs, you're looking in the bold-faced lie into the camera. Never seen this before. Well, the five tests have proven that you've done it. Like, why lie or try and skirt around it? Like, why try and have, like, a diversion? Just admit, I didn't play well in game one. I'm going to be a lot better in game two. I can't wait for the game. That's it. He's a star player.
The game sheet is the game sheet. It tells you what you need to know. And furthermore, the fact that he kind of was saying, hey, I did my job, but they didn't hit their shots, so now they want me to shoot. Fine, I'll just throw a bad shot. Like,
right.
That was unnecessary, too, because you're throwing shade at your teammates. And they all played poorly. Kyle wasn't the only guy. But Kyle can't be the guy when he's injured saying, well, they got to adapt to me. I'm the man. I'm going to be the guy. And then when you throw up 4 points and play poorly, it's, well, I did my job, but they didn't do – like, no. That's not the way it works.
But does that concern you if you're, like, moving forward?
Well, I think if they choke here – like, this isn't Caps versus Leafs, but – the Raps have been a playoff team for 4 years in a row. They had 51 wins.
Right.
The Bucks are a young, inexperienced team. It's one game. I think they're going to win tonight. I think they'll get back in this series. I still think they're favored to win the series.
Yeah, we want them to win. And
but if it doesn't happen, at some point you would think. Now, Masai's already come out on the record and said we're going to do everything we can to re-sign him. So I expect that Lowry's going to come back. But
so nothing could change their mind. That's my question.
I don't know. I mean, if you lose in 4 or 5 and he plays horribly and he doesn't sound right, I would think you've got to take that into consideration. Like how much – you can give him a 5-year contract, a 4-year contract at $30 million plus a year.
Right. And did they show that they can play without him?
They did, although I think that's a bit deceptive. It's regular season, and you know, in the NBA with the regular season, and you got to look back on the schedule. They had games against the Knicks and Philly.
You
and
you always want the best players on your team. He certainly is a great player,
mm-hmm.
But at what point does?
I've always wondered that when you're an organization, like you know, lock this guy up, big term, big dollars, and you don't win with him. So what do you actually? And I always go to the Philip Rivers conversation. It's like they pay him. And he never has a chance. You never have a chance.
I'll bring it back to hockey. Phil Kessel's a great player. Signed a long-term. Dion Phaneuf. Like, you had that core that was good in their mind. You know, good here, like, but not to against other teams. So that's my point. At what point does that core
have to
get broken up because it's not good enough to get to that next level?
I don't think that's a part of the conversation right now. It's only one game. But I do think by the end of this,
right,
whenever the ride ends,
take a hard look at it.
You have to take a look at it. And let's be honest, as we segue to the Blue Jays, the same thing is happening right now.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, I think this is too early because, yeah, they're 2-10. They're off to a horrible start. They've dug themselves a really deep hole.
Right.
I'm not in a position right now, if I'm Atkins and Shapiro, to call up teams and say Donaldson's available or Estrada's available. You're 2 weeks into the season. 2 weeks ago, you thought you had a good enough team to compete.
Right.
You can't change your mind that quickly, but that is what is happening with the Blue Jays right now. All of a sudden, they look like the oldest team in the league. They look like a team who has issues with their fundamentals. And you look at their star players, and we mentioned Kyle a moment ago, Bautista's in a similar light. Bautista's been here for a long time. He's been the face of the team. He's getting roasted by people, but deservedly so. Look at these stats. 53 plate appearances through 12 games. 6 hits, 2 doubles, 0 home runs, 1 RBI. Batting average of 136, on base of 264, slugging percentage 182. So he's got an OPS, on base plus slugging percentage of 446. That is like Bartolo Colon type slash lines.
Now, I saw this just, I think it's a tongue-in-cheek on Twitter, but doesn't Tebow have higher numbers in the minors or stuff? Some people
Dirk Hayers was tweeting about that. The guy's in the minors and he's Tebow. I mean,
I know. I saw that it was kind of... Matt Cause was tweeting it out. I thought it was funny, but it just, you can't compare league to league.
No, you can't go.
But it was just, when you've got a guy that you're expecting more from.
I thought Bautista, and it's early.
Supposed to be the big bounce back year.
I thought he would. I really did. I put a lot of faith into the injuries last year. I thought the injuries were the problem, and now he got paid, and he's still going to be inspired to go out there and get a new contract. And he still could be in that position by the end of the year, but he is a microcosm of the team's issues. He's doing nothing at the plate. Blake tweeting and saying, I've got tickets for the Jays game tomorrow, but I'm a diehard Leaf fan. How do I handle that?
Well, you're not going to the Leaf game, pal, so just go to the Jays game.
No.
Get the updates.
I think I'd sell Jays tickets. I mean, it's tough. If you don't go to a lot of games.
Though?
Watch the Leaf
game.
Here's
an idea.
What are you, crazy? Imagine
go
being
down
in
to
there
the Rogers Center.
But he ain't going.
Sell the tickets and then walk over to Maple Leaf Square early enough so that you could get in line to get into the square and watch the game.
I don't know how that works, though.
I don't know either. I don't know how many. Yeah, because it seems like it's like a bar situation now. They only allow a certain amount of people in. I don't know the whole, rules of that. But if you want to watch your Leafs play and you're going to give up the tickets, that's my suggestion, is you can be right there.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's a difficult spot because going to a Blue Jay Red Sox game would be a lot of fun. I mean, this is a big rivalry. Maybe you bought your tickets 2 months ago. Maybe you've got a commitment to go with somebody.
Right.
But if you're a diehard Leaf fan, I'm not sure how you avoid watching the game tomorrow night. I just don't know how you avoid watching that game. I don't
agree.
What about a Noodles move? iPad or phone?
Well, I do it. You always have to have the phone on.
Jay's game with the phone on?
Well, people will be doing that tomorrow. You can bank
no
on
kidding.
It.
Now, if you have... See, I don't know if you can do it. You can stream it on NHL.com if you have a Canadian account. I have an American account. So that's how I'm able to watch the Leafs locally. Sometimes when you go to punch on the Leafs to watch on your NHL.com or NHL app on your phone, you get blacked out because it's local area.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that works.
I don't. I have that lifted because my account is in the U.S.
At what point do you think it's not so cool to go to the games anymore, Jays?
It's still cool to go to the games, but I think if we're 2-3 months down the road and you realize they're on pace for 70...
won't be that cool thing to do.
It will quiet down. It won't, like the past 2 years, going to the Dome was the place to be.
No question.
The place to be. And especially in September when they were hopping along and you knew the playoffs were in reach. And 2 years ago, after the Price deal and the Tulowitzki deal, I don't know how many home games they had after that.
Yeah.
Probably close to 25 or 30. They were, I'm sure, doing 35,000-37,000 a night on average, which is huge numbers.
Well,
it was the place to be.
Got to find a way to turn that tide around.
And it really does start tonight because Boston's hot. The Yankees have won 8 in a row. Baltimore won again. I mean, those three teams, they're looking pretty good at this point. The Jays got to start hopping. Mike Modano will join us. He jumped the gun on Twitter last night, tweeted out after the Ovechkin goal that the Leafs are done in five, and then they win in overtime.
Enjoy the home games.
And he quickly changed his tune. So we'll catch up with Mike Modano. We'll get back into how the Leafs found a way to win that game last night. We're giving away a pair of tickets to the game tomorrow night. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. Let this one breathe a little bit. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. Leafs are up 2-1, man.
This is, I'm telling you, the crew, you can't go wrong with the Motley Crue.
Never.
That book, The Dirt, has got to be one of the best rock books ever read. The Keith Richards one is pretty exciting, too.
Keith Richards, I think it started too hot. They had that great his first chapter, the Richards, when they were in the South and he had the bag of drugs and the cops pulled them over. Like, it was such a great first chapter of that book. After that, it was still great, but it was almost like the best scene of a movie was the opening scene.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
Nick tweeting in, and this is a good question because this has happened the past couple of years at Leaf games when the Jays were in the playoffs or the Jays were winning, go Jays go chants would start up because the Leafs weren't playing for anything and they were terrible at the time.
Right.
Nick's wondering if we're going to have any go Leaf go chants at the Dome over the next couple of nights. I'd place a high percentage on that happening.
You know it.
Wow.
If they start getting dummied, you know it's coming. That's Toronto sports fans' favorite thing to do. Whatever event they're at, if the team sucks and they got a bad record, the opposite, whatever, the different team gets the chant.
Jump on the other team.
Yeah, and if everybody's garbage, it's just the Argos start coming into play. It's.
But TFC's had some success. They're not going to chant that.
No, I don't think go TFC.
TFC has their like unique own little following.
A cult. They've got a deep following of religious fans. That go there, rain, shine.
They're very committed.
And they are committed no matter what is going on. And it's a big crowd, too. It's not just a 5,000. Like, there are thousands and thousands of TFC fans that are passionate about this group here.
Yeah, they put in 25, 30 grand of diehards all the time.
Yep.
Someone texting in saying, I skipped the concert I waited 3 months for to watch Game 2 of the Maple Leaf series in a pub right beside the concert. Okay, good for you. Nice. That's like Robin Williams in Good Will Hunting. Wasn't there to see Game 6 because he had met a girl. There's a reference I think you can get.
Yeah, we got to.
I don't remember that part, though.
You don't remember that part? What are you talking about? That's when he met his wife.
Oh, my God.
He's telling,
you, Phil.
He's telling
it's not your fault.
Matt Damon, where he's like, I had tickets. What, were you, Yastrzemski hit the home run?
No, it was Bench.
Yeah.
No, it was catcher, whatever his name was. I don't know.
Anyways, he's telling Matt Damon that he slid the tickets over to his buddies and said, I got to go see about a girl instead of going to the game. It's ridiculous.
I can't believe you don't remember that.
I don't remember that part.
All right. We're giving away tickets to see Game 4 tomorrow night. Bob McKenzie coming up. Mike Modano coming up. And we'll tee up game 2, Raps Bucks. Overdrive continues.
By the way, our boss, like, throw us the tickets.
All right. Not going to happen, but we'll keep complaining
on
the air.
You know how much they cost?
Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.